This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
The diversity of topics always on this program, but we wanted to check in now that we're ways past the election with State Senator David Brock Smith and cover some election-related items, some legislative-related items, that kind of thing. David, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
So I guess, first of all, what are your thoughts about Oregon legislative races once we've gotten past the general election?
Well, I want to first thank the overwhelming support of the citizens and residents of Curry, Coos, and Douglas counties for Senate District 1, and over 70% of the voting populace supported my reelection, and I am incredibly grateful for their trust and look forward to continuing our work with Representative Virgil Osborne and Representative Court Boyce as we move forward in the 2025 session. Legislative races across the state, unfortunately, we lost a Republican seat in the Bend area. Senator Canope did not run for re-election, and we were running a gentleman by the name of fifth generation Oregonian and resident of Bend, Michael Summers, and he fell short. And so we are down to 12 Republicans and 18 Democrats in the Oregon State Senate. That puts us in the super minority, and I can tell you that having been in the super minority in 19 and 20 in the House, it's not fun. As far as the House, there was a number of seats that they were going after there as well, but they were not successful in gaining seats, but they did hold at 25. So there's 25 Republicans and 35 Democrats in the House, one shy of being in the super minority. So I'm grateful for their work and being able to hold that. We were actually in the Senate going after another race that we thought was going very well, but frankly, Kyle, it was just odd. Across the board in Oregon, you had roughly Democrats winning 6 to 8 points in those purple or swing districts, some less, some more. But on average, House Minority Leader, Republican Leader Jeff Helfrich was able to pull out his race by a little over 1,200 votes, and Representative Kramer was able to win re-election in literally a D district in Wilsonville area. Cyrus Jabity, Representative Jabity up in the North Coast, was able to hold his seat in a D district. And so, you know, like we've talked about in the past, Kyle, I came into the state legislature in 2017. At the time, we have what's called the Legislative Coastal Caucus, which is made up of seven representatives and senators along the coast. And when I came in 17, Senator Cruz and myself were the only Republicans. But as of 2022, so that made five Democrats and two Republicans in those legislative districts on the coast. But we were able to flip that in 22 to where there's six Republicans and only one Democrat now. We were able to hold that majority on the coast and the Coastal Caucus. And as you know, been elected the Senate Republican Deputy Leader, but I was also elected as the Vice Chair of the Coastal Caucus last week by my colleagues. So that's kind of the down and dirty for around the state.
So looking at the Senate, since you mentioned it here, as you saw this, any idea why? I know that you guys, the GOP, was hoping for a higher level of success this year, and it seemed like it kind of went the other way around in a lot of ways.
Well, it did. I mean, we knew that when redistricting happened that the Bend Senate seat was going to be a tough race because it with that redistricting, it put it into a plus 13 Democrat district. So that's a big hill to climb. But again, Republicans, you know, in the House, for example, Helfrich is in a plus five, plus four D district, and he won. Cyrus is in a similar situation. He won. Senator Anderson, who has parts of Douglas County there, Coos Bay, up to Tillamook, and of course, Reedsport. And that is a roughly a plus three, plus four D district, and he won re-election. So all in all, we didn't do too bad holding those seats. But 2026, we have other senators that are up, such as Senator Thatcher in the Kaiser-Salem area. That is, her seat is up. So, you know, we're gonna go and I'm actually headed to a Senate Republican caucus retreat now so that we can digest a lot of the numbers. Because we haven't really been able to see him yet. And so I'll be able to give you a little more next time I'm on after that, Kyle.
So let's talk real quick about reaction for the statewide races, Attorney General and such. What were your thoughts there?
So I was really hopeful that Will Lathrop was going to win. Just a really fantastic human. Very well qualified for that position. Of course, my colleague Dennis Litticum running for Secretary of State to be able to bring the needed transparency to that office that's so critical for across the state. I mean, the Secretary of State performs the audits for the various departments, not just deals with elections, of course. And so, you know, with COVID and the billions that came in, you know, with the federal dollars, we need audits on where those dollars went, and so I'll be I know my colleagues and I will be pushing Secretary Reed in doing that, and then I really thought that Senator Boqvist, who was running against Senator Steiner for treasurer, had a shot because of the Pacific Green Workings Family Party member in that race, but unfortunately he was not successful either. Congressionally, I'm really disappointed that my friend and colleague Congresswoman Lori Chavez Dreamer lost her seat to Janelle Bynum. It was a vicious campaign and with full of lies and misinformation from Bynum, similar to the crazy lies and misinformation in my primary campaign from my opponents. But it's just unfortunate. There was an independent in that race that, I mean, Lori lost by 10,000 votes, and the independent in that race that leans conservative sucked 17,000 votes away, roughly, and then the Libertarian candidate in that race sucked another 5,000 votes away from Lori. And so it'd be nice if we could all, as Republicans, work together, similar to, you know, what we all signed as elected officials for Douglas County many months ago, of how we need to work together to be successful.
All right, we're going to take a break, talk more with State Senator David Brock Smith, look ahead to the next legislative session and other topics as well. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. Tomorrow, Inside Douglas County, we're going to talk to a local author and business person. You may not realize he's got a book out. Milo Anderson, that owns Oregon Tool and Supply, has written a book about his life, and he'll be in to talk about it tomorrow on Inside Douglas County. State Senator David Brocksmith in, talking about a lot of things related to the legislative session. And before we move on to some of the things moving forward, of course, on the House side of things, Mark Helfrich announcing this week that he wasn't going to seek to keep his leadership position there. Any reaction from you on that?
Leader Jeff Helfrich did a masterful job, not only in his own race, but in working to try to get other Republicans elected and holding those seats of the sitting Republican representatives. I am sad to see him step down, but understand, you know, it takes a lot to be leader. As deputy leader for the Senate Republican caucus, it takes a lot of time. And so I'm hopeful that they will be meeting on Monday, the House and Republican caucus, and they'll be making their decision on leadership then. So you'll have to check in with Representative Osborne or Representative Boyce maybe next week and get an update.
So for the GOP priorities, and maybe this is some of what you're going to be talking about at your meeting here once you get across the mountains, are you hearing so far about what you're going to try to do, especially from the Senate side with that super minority?
Well, and that's where relationships come in, right, Kyle, whenever you're in the minority in general, but let alone the super minority. We still have one Republican vote that they need in the House to raise taxes. So that's good. I mean, we need to, as far as priorities, we are going to discuss those priorities, but, we need to make Oregon a more business-friendly state. We keep on increasing the cost of living for our residents across the state. The Democrats have been doing road shows with regards to transportation because ODOT is broke, essentially. We want to make sure that we reduce the regulatory authority from various agencies. We did get some land use done, but it wasn't enough so that we can make housing more affordable by being able to have more property to build on. We need to, I will be focusing on a number of things such as making sure that, as we talked about before, we repealed and reformed Measure 110. But the OHA and CIC, they are control those dollars, and I want to see those dollars. It's the one thing that I wasn't able to get in the omnibus bill of that reform and repeal of 110. I want to see those dollars ripped out of OHA and go directly to the counties so that because our counties already run public health departments with respect to Curry and Walla, they don't. But you have a situation where they can create the MOUs and the contracts with those service providers so that they can have measured deliverables and hold them accountable to the residents of the counties. And so I'm going to be pushing on that really hard. Timber management is something, if I can just bridge real quick, Kyle. I had a long conversation last Thursday over an hour with our Congressman Cliff Bentz, who is our one Republican now in Congress. He and I served together in the House 6-8 years ago. And so I've already been in conversations with Commissioner Freeman, of course, who is the president of the Association of ONC Counties, and we have this potential 2-year, maybe 4-year window where we can really get some federal forest management reform accomplished through the Trump administration. And Cliff is willing to help. We also, of course, discussed, and he supports trying to get and securing the $65 million of federal match to the $35 million that we were able to secure from the state to build the third Oregon Veterans Home in Roseburg on the VA campus there. And I, to the wildfire, I am working, and we'll find out this month if through CSG West, if we're going to have a wildfire committee, which I will co-chair, to help raise our legislative voices from Wyoming to Alaska and everywhere in between to our respective federal delegations so that we can front load the federal dollars to our local communities so that we can do the fuels reduction strategies, the thinning and prescribed fire within the wildland-urban interfaces so that we can reduce wildfire risk in the WUIs, as well as potentially lower the cost of insurance that is spiking for everyone in rural Oregon because of the wildfire danger on the federal landscape.
You mentioned the Oregon Veterans Home. Of course, we are 6 weeks out, probably less, actually, in terms of number of meeting days from this session of Congress wrapping things up. What are you hearing from the federal representatives, aside from Congressman Bentz, about getting assurances that the money will be allocated for the Veterans Home in Roseburg?
So I just had a conversation about this with Congresswoman Hoyle, our congresswoman, earlier this week. It's all hands on deck. Senator Wyden, Senator Merkley, Congresswoman Hoyle, as well as Congressman Bentz are all supportive of getting that $65 million in what they call the lame duck session budget here at the end of the year. I'm going to be continuing to make those phone calls and talk with Senator Wyden and Senator Merkley, and we're all pushing forward to get those dollars in this lame duck session and the reconciliation budget, essentially, for the end of the year. So I appreciate it being on their list, and, of course, as Senator Wyden is currently the chair of Senate Finance, and Senator Merkley sits on appropriations. I am hopeful and optimistic that we will get it done before the end of the year.
Now, Monday night, the Senate passed the Secure Rural Schools extension, and now that goes over to the House. Any idea on a timeline when that is going to be voted on, or will that be part of the end of the year funding bill?
I do not have an answer for you on that, unfortunately, Kyle, and what they're doing over there in Congress with the Secure Rural Schools. I'm hopeful that it will get done in the lame duck here before the end of the year. Those dollars are critically important for county services to residents, and so I am I'm hopeful that we can make that happen, or they, excuse me, can make that happen before they close shop and the inauguration of President Trump.
All right, just about out of time. It sounds like this is going to be a busy period of time for you.
It's always busy gearing up for session. You're drafting legislation, working with legislative counsel to make sure that the language is right. words matter, especially in making laws, and so it's really a busy time. But again, I'm grateful for the citizens of Curry, Coos, and Douglas County and their overwhelming trust and support. We have a good team of elected leaders. Congratulations to all those that were elected, and a special shout out to County Clerk Dan Loomis for winning his reelection as well. Thank you, Kyle.
All right. State Senator David Brock Smith wrapping up for today. We'll check in with some of our other lawmakers soon. 1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.